College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, I will be joined by Florida head coach Mike White. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is sponsored by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, we are now just 7 weeks away from the start of the 19-20 college basketball season. I will be hitting the road for good this week, making stops throughout the country, checking in with different programs to find out what's hot, what's not. But one thing that I think is a resounding theme as we really start to turn the corner and look ahead to 19-20 is that only a handful of teams can win a national championship, at least going into the season. And that's usually the case it is, too, when we start the NCAA tournament. There are teams that can get to the Final Four, there are teams that can get to the Sweet 16, but only a handful of squads have enough to win six games in the NCAA tournament. To me, Florida is one of those teams. The Gators should be significantly better offensively than they were a year ago when they won a game in the NCAA tournament, rallied late, only averaged 68.3 points per game last season. Florida under Mike White adds Kerry Blackshear, adds Scotty Lewis, adds Trey Mann, two terrific freshmen, and obviously the guy in Kerry Blackshear, who was pound for pound, inch for inch, the top grad transfer in college basketball, was sensational when Virginia Tech lost a close game to Duke in the Sweet 16. In my opinion, Florida should challenge Kentucky as a top team in the SEC and challenge as one of the top teams in college basketball. This is Florida's best chance to win a national championship since Billy Donovan. What does Mike White think about the early reports out of the Gators now that he's seen them on the floor for a few weeks? We check in with Florida's head coach when we return on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Florida will enter the 2019-20 season with high expectations. Mike White has led the Gators to three consecutive NCAA tournaments, and the aforementioned head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Mike, you're entering your year five at Florida. How fast have the last four went?
Really, really fast. It's incredible. We talk about that all the time. It's just seems like it was just yesterday moving into these offices from Ruston and trying to find our footing.
You know, Mike, what's the biggest thing about being the Florida head coach that you know now that you didn't know when you took the post?
Oh, probably how proud and loyal our fan base is. The excellence overall of the athletic department that I was familiar with, but now obviously more familiar with, very entrenched into this world-class athletic department with some of the best coaches in the country. And then probably lastly would be, John, our academic reputation. This past week we were bumped up to number seven overall in terms of academic public institutions in the country. It's always, I thought, been well-received. But it's, I feel like we're gaining more momentum, academically. Definitely our perception is headed that way positively.
Now, Mike, you had great success your first five seasons as a head coach, your last 3 years at Louisiana Tech. You won 27 games or more, and you and I have talked about this. It wasn't until your 6 years as a head coach that you got to the NCAA tournament and then won a game in the field, and you won three in the field that year in 2017. Internally, did anything change in you from a relief perspective after you went through that?
Without a doubt, John. I mean, just breaking in and going to our first tournament was huge. And, of course, that was the best run that we've had our second year here. We were able to advance the last couple of years, but not as far, of course, as the year we're talking about. So to do that, to make the run in the same year that you broke through and finally got in, was pretty special. But we were also pretty aware of the fact that at that level, in that league, at a great place, in a great league, a place that it was tough for us to leave, still very, very difficult to find your way in and win three games in 3 days. I know it's been done to get at larges. Scheduling had become pretty difficult for us. We had really good players, a high, high level backcourt. And so the at large was nearly impossible from a scheduling standpoint. And just although we had great seasons and even made some runs in conference tournaments, we weren't able to finish the deal and get it done.
You know, doing this job now for close to a decade and a half, you know, one of the things that I've always taken away from conversations like this with coaches is coaches always talk about the Elite Eight game being the game that has the most pressure, because if you win that game, you join a hallowed group of coaches for those who coached in the Final Four. I know you're very young and you have a lot of years left in your coaching career, but does the game against South Carolina in 2017 pop up in your mind, considering how competitive it was and what was at stake?
No, it definitely does. I'm not going to dodge that one. You know, while you're in your tournament run, you want to practice what you preach, and you talk to your players daily about the next game, the next play, the next shot, the next stop. You know, playing in the moment, being where your feet are, and certainly as a staff, we tried to do the same thing. But in retrospect, you look back and say, my goodness, we were half away from, you know, hanging another court here in this practice facility that Billy D hung a few of, and Coach Kruger hung one, up seven against a team that we had beaten previously that season. Just wasn't meant to be. South Carolina was better that night and had a magical season. And hopefully we have an opportunity at another point to get back.
You know, Mike, you come from great pedigree. There is no secret about that. You know, your father's obviously the AD at Duke. You have siblings who have earned high, high positions in collegiate athletics. How much did dealing with that and dealing with the fact that your family was going to be so focused and driven in sports help you deal with the fact that you were the guy that had to follow Billy Donovan at the University of Florida?
Tough one there. I don't know that they're interrelated at all, John. My dad doing what he does and us being around it our whole lives has definitely been an incredible blessing for all of us, both professionally and personally, because he's a heck of a guy. He's an awesome human being, just been a great example for us. I took a little bit of a different path in that I fell in love with the game, and I had some doors that were open to me. I was able to work for some really good head coaches, work with some really good staffs, and was really fortunate, you know, to get that Louisiana Tech job, to hire the staff that I was able to hire, to sign the players we were able to hire. People talk all the time about, hey, what have you been really good at? If you were going to speak at a coaching clinic, Mike, what's your expertise? And it's common for me to say, well, I've been pretty good at hiring really good assistants and signing really good players, in particular in our backcourts. You know, it's all about your people. It's again, circling back, it's been a little bit of a different path for me than my siblings. That said, I know my dad's opened up doors for me, just like he has my brothers and sisters. The pressure piece, again, we preach it to our guys. we really don't get involved in it. You know, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it, thinking about it, and taking away from the focus of getting better today, doing our job at a high level. I kind of spun it on myself and our staff and our players when I first got the job. I mean, is it following Billy D, or is that a negative or a positive? Well, you know, we saw it as a positive. You know, he made the job immensely better. He turned this place into a high-level basketball job, and we're fortunate to be here.
Well, and one of the things that Billy Donovan had and any great coach had was tremendous resiliency, and your program showed that last year, especially late in the season. You were 12-11 and 4-6 in SEC play on February 9th after a loss at Tennessee. What changed after that game?
I think our freshmen started growing up a little bit more, took on more of a leadership role. Andrew Nembhard, I think, made a big jump in terms of making this his team, along with Kavarius Hayes. Kavarius's skill level improved. He got a little senioritis, got in the gym a little bit more. It became very, very important to him to return to the NCAA tournament. His last go-round turned into a real leader. I mentioned Andrew Nembhard, but Noah Locke and Keontae Johnson as the other two freshman starters for us, they just got better and better, especially Keontae down the stretch. Here he is knocking on my door as we speak. But Keontae finished really strong in conference play in both the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. And then we shortened our bench a little bit. We tried to shorten the game a little bit, John. We started playing a lot differently than we were really every other time that I've had as a head coach. We started really playing slow. We just thought it was our best chance to give ourselves the best chance to have success, and played some half-court basketball, led again by Andrew Nembhard, who was terrific down the stretch.
Florida head coach Mike White joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you mentioned some of the struggles that you had offensively last year, which led to playing a slower style. That's always remedied by players who can get easy baskets, and you added one of those players in the spring in Kerry Blackshear, a grad transfer from Virginia Tech. What instantly about Kerry have you noticed since he stepped on campus that your team didn't have last year?
An interior scorer, I say that, and he can also stretch the defense. He can really pass it. He can shoot it. The first thing that pops out at you after you've had a few practices with him is his intelligence level. Very, very high IQ on and off the court, between the lines, really understands the game, high-level communicator, mature, tough, way stronger than he looks. You know, he's got a nice frame, but guys just bounce off him. He's a terrific player, high skill level. He's been awesome so far.
Now, Kerry's not the first grad transfer that you've recruited since you've been at the University of Florida. I'm curious, how does the relationship with a player who's a grad transfer who you're with for 1 year compare to the players in terms of a relationship that you have from when you're recruiting them from high school and they're there for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, no, good question, and it's specific to us a little bit in that we've had a bunch of success. You know, we had Canyon Berry, who had a great run, and we had 5 or 6 starters that year. He was one of those guys. I think he was the SEC Sixth Man of the Year and won the National Scholar Athlete of the Year Award. Igor Kulichov from Rice had a great run. Those guys are some of my favorite guys I've ever had an opportunity to coach. And so, you know, we tried to use that and sell that in the process. I think that what's similar in all three of these recruiting processes were that all three of these guys understood the importance and the how time sensitive it was to fast track a relationship and have a relationship with the whole staff, of course, especially with the head coach, because they weren't going to be there very long. And they were very, very careful with their decisions, spent a lot of time communicating with us. And all three of them had really good options, of course. So KJ's, you know, able to come back close to home, get a graduate degree from the University of Florida, being an Orlando guy. And, you know, we spend time communicating, of course. But we're also able to help him a little bit in terms of using the experiences that we had with our last two graduate transfers.
Florida head coach Mike White joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Gators coming into 1920 with high-level expectations, and a big reason for that, too, is the recruiting class that is coming to town, led by a couple of perimeter guys in Trey Mann and Scotty Lewis. And, Mike, when you add those to Andrew Nembhard, who you talked about, obviously, earlier, and also Noah Locke, who kind of gets forgotten despite making 81 threes last year, does this have a chance to be the best perimeter that you've had at Florida?
Oh, yeah, without question. A chance, at least. I mean, on paper, our backcourt is really good. Now, we've got to put it together. We've got to play together. We've got to define some roles, learn how to play off of one another. And then we've got to figure out who's going to win minutes and who's going to win starting spots and how we're going to respond to all those things, John. You know, I think that one of the misnomers in college basketball is that if you're deeper, you're automatically a lot better. I think there are a lot of positive potentials with it, but there's also the potential of you know, having some chemistry that isn't exactly what you want it to be, or a locker room environment that you don't exactly want it to be. So, our chemistry, our culture, all of those buzzwords have got to be on point. They've got to be where we want them to be if we're going to live up to some expectation. But at the same time, we're not going to spend time, a lot of time, thinking about those expectations. We're going to focus on getting better and competing and figuring out the best way for us to play offensively and defensively.
You know, Mike, I watched Scotty Lewis play for the better part of the last 3 years, and just every time I watched him play, I felt like he was a glue guy on steroids because of what he brought from an intangible perspective. And with him, it's not really 50-50 balls, it's 90-10 balls. What drew you to Scotty in terms of what he would immediately bring to your program? Because I know this was a long recruiting process where obviously you fancied his services.
Yeah, you know, we saw him as a freshman right away, and it was a long process. Had him on a campus several times throughout his career, and you know, I'd be dishonest if I told you that what didn't stick out immediately was his length and athleticism, because at 15 he was doing things that we had rarely seen, especially coming from a mid-major program where we didn't recruit 15 and 16 year olds. Heck, we were recruiting 21 year old junior college players. But as his career developed and we got a chance to know more about him and develop the relationship, he's an unbelievable kid, a great family, magnetic personality, very talented off the floor. And I think he's got an elite level motor, just very, very competitive kid defensively. You said it, loose balls, long rebounds. He can guard multiple positions, and he's a you know, he's a work in progress and developing offensively, but he's got a high ceiling there. He's got a chance to be a terrific player.
Well, and you know, obviously he's going to be better too at Florida because he's going to be playing with other great players, and one of those players potentially is Trey Mann. If there was one player, past or present, who Trey Mann most reminded you of, who would it be?
Oh. That's a tough one. I mean, I got a couple guys in mind, but I'm not going to name them because they're awfully good. He's got a ways to go, John. I'll let you name those guys. He hasn't even been through a practice yet, but he can get it offensively. I thought he was arguably one of the best scorers in last year's class. Can play the one, can play the two. He's got size. He's continued to grow. You know, we started recruiting him when – he's probably 6 inches shorter than he is now when we first got to Gainesville. Wonderful kid, improving defender, and really working hard.
Well, those are some of the newcomers that everybody is going to highlight, but it's been well documented, it's been proven, especially over the past couple of years, that college basketball is always built on returning players, and those returning players usually usurp the contributions of incoming players. Who makes the biggest jump this season from Florida's returnees?
Good question. I'm going to go with a guy who not a lot of people are talking about. He's been really good for a couple weeks and didn't play last year, and that's Gorjak Gak. If he stays healthy, he's very talented. He's got high basketball character. He really understands what we're trying to do. He's a little bit older, and he's 6'10", 6'11", with a 7'4" wingspan. So he changes things defensively for us, can pass it, played some quality minutes in the NCAA tournament run a couple years ago. Again, if he stays healthy, I anticipate Gorzhak having a really good redshirt junior year.
Florida head coach Mike White joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein as we are now just approximately 7 weeks away from the start of the 1920 college basketball season. For a long time, it was Kentucky and Florida on an island by themselves in the SEC. The league is obviously not like that anymore. It's improved dramatically. But aside from those two programs, your own program and the program in Lexington, give me another team in the SEC that you think will be a major factor this season.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give you about six of them, John. Tennessee's made a great run. They'll continue to be very good, without a doubt. Ole Miss, we've got twice, Ole Miss and LSU, so I've got to mention those guys. Both teams coming off very good years, and both will be very good again. Mississippi State, I think Georgia will be better. I think Arkansas's got, I could name the whole league. I probably ought to just quit. You know, South Carolina's always very, very good. We talked about them a little bit earlier. But our league has gone from very good for a long time to one of the best. I mean, as deep a league just about as there is. There are no gimmies in this league. Some proud fan bases, some new facilities, some high-level recruiting. And some really good, really, really good coaches and staffs. So we've got our hands full in league play, and then our non-conference is no joke either. There's not many gimmies on that side of it as well.
Well, Mike, I can see right now why you don't flinch when, you know, people talk about you replacing Billy Donovan, because every task right now I can see you're going over with a fine-tooth comb that we throw at you. But you've had, obviously, three runs to the NCAA tournament. You won three games, went to the Elite Eight a couple of years ago. Then, you know, you won a game and lost a tough game to Texas Tech in 18. And last year, I thought, did a great job rallying your team and then getting to the round of 32 before going to Michigan. We've talked about different pieces, but why pound for pound, inch for inch, does this upcoming team have a chance to be the best team that Mike White has coached at Florida?
Well, I think your talent level. We've been talented. I think this team is more talented. I think we're deeper. I don't think that we've got any holes offensively or defensively. I don't think that you see any glaring weaknesses. That said, again, I mean, what remains to be seen are the most important pieces. We've got enough shooting, potential scoring, again, depth, a little bit of speed and quickness, a little bit faster than last year. We'll be better scoring it on the interior. Hopefully be as good defensively. Could potentially, if we hit our ceiling, be even better defensively. But with expectations, again, we'll be challenging our guys daily to focus on, again, just being better today. Everyone in the locker room, let's just get a little bit incrementally better today than we were yesterday, and collectively we'll all get better. If that happens, John, it'll give us a chance to potentially evaluate our locker room, see where it's at. When roles are defined and we put out five guys on the floor, how are the other nine going to respond? Are we all pulling in the same direction? Our culture, more than anything, I think will define how good this team can be from a talent perspective, though, from what's on paper, there's no question we've got a lot to work with.
Well, Mike, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Appreciate a couple of minutes. Know how busy you are. Good luck starting out practice officially next week, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
Thanks so much, John. Thanks for having me.
We'd like to thank Florida head coach Mike White for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question is going to come from Brown Bear, and it's, John, can Villanova make some noise this year? Villanova is always going to be a top 10 to 12 team in the country as long as Jay Wright is the head coach. Villanova returned several key players from last year, I think, that are going to take a major step forward. Colin Gillespie, Jermaine Samuels, and also Sadiq Bey. But the guy that I love on Villanova is Jeremiah Robinson Earl, their talented freshman forward. We'll see the Wildcats in person in the next couple of weeks. Our next question comes from Tuffy 1994, and it's, John, what is the ceiling for this NC State team? And look, I think NC State under Kevin Keats has a real chance to get to the NCAA tournament for the second time in three seasons. Here's what you like about NC State. They bring back a strong nucleus of guards. Braxton Beverly, Markel Johnson, Devin Daniels, the kid who played at Utah, is a good player. You also are going to see C.J. Bryce get a major role. Now, Kevin Keats told me recently that D.J. Funderburk has had a really productive offseason. He will be a key factor on the interior as NC State goes to get ready for another big run in the ACC. And a big thing to keep in mind when you look at the ACC, 13 of the top 20 scorers from a year ago in the conference are now moving along. There's a bit of a passage in the league. I talked to an ACC assistant coach this morning, told me that parity should be the theme of the conference in 1920. Our final question comes from Zach Palmer, and it's, John, who are some mid-major teams to keep an eye on this year? Have to have Vermont on the list, obviously. I would throw Utah State on as well under Craig Smith. So many pieces back from that 28-win team a year ago. Western Kentucky, led by Rick Stansbury in Conference USA. Joe Pasternak and UC Santa Barbara, a team that won 22 games last year. They've got a really good backcourt of transfers, which are Corey McLaughlin and Deverell Ramsey. Harvard, to me, could be pound for pound, inch for inch, the most talented roster that we've seen in the Ivy League in quite some time, if not ever. Others, too, to keep an eye on. Obviously, you know, you don't count Gonzaga as a mid-major, but St. Mary's should be sensational, and Colgate. Colgate is a team that returns its top five scorers from a year ago. That team with Jordan Burns and company really shook Tennessee in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So those are some mid-majors to keep an eye on right now as we turn the page to the 1920 college basketball season. It's time now for Five Good Nuggets, and sponsored by our friends at Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five Good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the family business. Well-embedded moles in Ann Arbor have told me that the potential of Michigan freshman Franz Wagner is through the roof. This is the brother of former Michigan star Mo Wagner. The 6'8 wing has a chance to have a major impact following the departures of both Jordan Poole and Charles Matthews on the wing. Nugget number two, boiling cachet. Purdue has won 45 league games over the past three seasons, the most in the conference. No other team in the Big Ten during that time has won more than 42. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Matt Painter is the new Bo Ryan. Nugget number three, Trojan power. Highly placed spies in Southern California have told me that USC could look to turn to a three big lineup next season featuring two freshmen, Isaiah Mobley and Onyeka Okwangwu, and Nick Rakosevich all on the floor at the same time. You don't see size like that a lot in college basketball. It'll be interesting to see what USC does defensively if those three are on the floor. Nugget number four, iron. here. And Mike, I took in St. John's practice last week. Mike Anderson, obviously coming in from Arkansas. The instant takeaway I had from practice, this program will not be relying on any one player. The Red Storm are now a system team under Mike Anderson. Nugget number five on the road again. I'm going to be hitting New England over the next couple days. Going to see Rhode Island, Harvard, Boston College, Providence, and UConn as we continue to inch closer towards the 1920 college basketball season. We'd like to thank Florida head coach Mike White for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.